Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart with Brian Myers. We got Ron here, too. We got more, and we'll hopefully have more Ron throughout the show.
You're talking about Trump now or what?
Well, we'll have that, too.
Hey, speaking of the Donald, we found out this week, and we're going to talk about Donald a lot this show.
In second segment, yep.
But we found out this week, Donald Trump listens to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Ooh, that's cool.
We did. He sent out a tweet.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
I do.
Didn't he say something about me being an overrated moron or something like that? But it was good to know that the Donald listens to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Yeah.
What's this? I hear you had something in your laundry that scared you half to death.
Gosh. Okay. I did my laundry and I brought it upstairs. I was starting to fold it. And I'll tell you what kind of a piece of laundry I had in my hands, but I look and I thought I saw something move. I turn around and this wolf spider.
Whoa!
On this piece of laundry, like drop it, you know? Like, what the heck?
Gosh.
And this was in my office because I have my closets in my office. And
What are you doing messing with your underwear in your closet or your office or what? Back up a minute.
Okay, my wife has taken up the entire closet in our bedroom. Therefore.
Oh, you got relegated to basement closet or something.
Well, no. My office is upstairs
now. Well,
that's
right. You're in Mo's old room.
Yeah, so I took over. Once he moved out, it's like, dude, your room is mine now. So I'm out of the basement. I'm taking over the closet. So the spider crawled away. I still don't know where it's at exactly, but... It'll probably crawl across my keyboard when I'm working or something. That'll be delightful. I'm not a spider fan. I'm not like petrified of them, but I lived a year down in Florida, and that kind of cures you of that. if you were so petrified of spiders, because I tell you what we have in Iowa is nothing compared to what you find down in Florida. Mm-hmm. We had one crawl across our ceiling one time. They call them palmetto spiders because they're a variety of wolf spider that's about the size of your palm, excluding their legs. So these are things you don't kill these things with a Kleenex.
My wife would have moved back to Iowa immediately.
So, yeah, that one I went after with a fly swatter and a can of Raid. That was fun.
I thought you might get out an M16.
Not while I can't damage the house. Maybe use the butt of the rifle for it.
It's over there.
Yeah. No. So,
did you get him, buddy? Did you get him?
Spiders. Spiders don't freak me out. I don't necessarily want them crawling on me, though.
Yeah.
But it's like, what the heck is this thing in my laundry for? I don't know if anybody else has had this issue, but since the winter really wasn't that cold, we've had a ton of, wolf spiders usually stay out of our house. We usually find other types of spiders, but I found several inside the house. And
wow.
I don't like that. That's no. We're going to have to, if this happened again next year, we're going to have to get, somebody come out and spray.
Well, you seem to be pretty well versed in these critters if you know them by name.
Wolf spiders?
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't know one spider from another.
Oh, okay. Well, they're pretty distinct. I mean, and they're varieties of wolf spider. But yeah,
listen to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm a walking encyclopedia of useless information.
That's it. We're done. That's it. What are we doing on the show today, folks?
Well, hey.
He starts going down that path. Just cut him off.
It's true. Hey, it serves me well in Trivial Pursuit, though.
There you go.
So that's about the only use I found for it. Oh, boy. Clinton. Walking Hillary Clinton.
Encyclopedia.
has got some additional drama and scandal. In other news, water is wet.
Yeah.
So,
and another day with D-A-Y at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, the Judicial Watch released some emails that they were able to get a hold of due to a Freedom of Information Act request. And the new documents reveal a controversial Clinton Foundation official pushed for a job for an associate, as an associate. In the email, Band tells Hillary Clinton's former aides in the State Department, Cheryl Mills and Huma Abedin, I think that's how you pronounce her name. Somebody, I'm sure, will correct me if I'm wrong.
You might have gotten that one right.
Okay.
That's the one I mess up.
It said it's important to take care of, and that's redacted, which is interesting that it's redacted since it was a email to a Clinton official, so I don't know why they're talking about classified information. Anyway, Ban is reassured by Abedin that personnel has been sending him options. Ban was the co-founder of Teneo Strategy with Bill Clinton and a top official of the Clinton Foundation, including its Clinton Global Initiative. Included in the new document production is a 2009 email in which Ban directs Abedin and Mills to put the Lebanese-Nigerian billionaire and Clinton Foundation donor Gilbert Chigori in touch with the State Department's substance person on Lebanon. Ban notes that Chigori is a key guy there in Lebanon and to us, and insists that Abedin call Ambassador Jeffrey Feltman to connect him with Chigori. Chigori is a close friend of former President Bill Clinton and a top donor to the Clinton Foundation. He has appeared near the top of the foundation's donor list as a $1 million to $5 million contributor, according to the foundation documents. He also pledged $1 billion to the Clinton Global Initiative. According to a 2010 investigation by PBS Frontline, Chigori was convicted in 2000 in Switzerland for laundering money from Nigeria, but agreed to a plea deal and repaid $66 million to the Nigerian government. So, more on that in a second, but yeah. So here's they're asking for favors. Clinton Foundation donors, at least the big donor, gets a favor from the State Department, which is interesting. I find it fascinating how this Clinton Foundation guy is just ordering these State Department aides around.
Well, yeah, just send him an email. Get this guy a job. Sure.
Right.
No problem.
Right. So Clinton State Department Chief of Staff was a part of these documents was involved in unethical conduct with the Clinton Foundation. Go ahead and play clip one, please.
On June 19, 2012, Cheryl Mills, then the Chief of Staff for Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, boarded an Amtrak Acela train in Washington's Union Station, bound for New York.
This is CNN.
She met with and why has remained a mystery, even to the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee until now. For the last 7 months, Senate investigators have been trying to find out what Mills was up to. And for 7 months, the U.S. Department of State has refused to answer. Now CNN has learned a potential reason why. Cheryl Mills, then a U.S. government employee and Secretary of State Clinton's chief of staff, was in New York working on behalf of the Clinton Foundation. A source close to the situation confirms to CNN Mills was interviewing two people for the leadership role of the foundation.
Interesting.
I think this is pretty interesting.
It is.
CNN actually is reporting this.
So, okay, when the Trump campaign cries about all the bad press they're getting, they say the media is never doing anything on Clinton. That's not true. Maybe they're not doing it as much, but Clinton doesn't say stupid things as often as Trump does, so
we're going to get into that.
We're going to get into that. That's next segment.
Yeah.
So anyway, out of fairness to the media, he just gives them a lot more material. So this is fascinating. Maggie Haberman of the New York Times doesn't buy it, by the talking points from the Clintons. Go ahead and play clip two.
Maggie Haberman, let me ask Haberman. You, again, it may not be illegal. It wasn't investigated. We don't know if it's going to be deemed illegal, but it does present the image of at least confusion or interests here when someone working at the State Department does interviews for the Clinton Foundation?
The question about conflicts of interest is very often in government about the appearance of a conflict of interest. And so this goes to the appearance of a conflict of interest. And while there has been there have been explanations offered, and there's the one that David just offered, they're the ones you heard out of the campaign, out of the, this particular, in one instance, a donor who was involved and a meeting being set up. Those all make sense, but it does speak to a confluence, and it feeds a narrative that has existed around the Clintons for a very long time of thinking that the rules don't apply to them.
And it's
that,
a question,
that they can do things
differently. Is it political blindness? Is it not believing that people would perceive it this way or not caring?
I mean, I can't speak to, you know, what's in their heads. What has generally come out from their allies is, you know, a sense of they believe that they are doing sort of, you know, more harm than good. We will hear the Clintons point to, look at all the good work that this foundation does. It's a charity, period. It's not a charity, period. It does do charitable work, but at the end of the day, it is also interwoven completely with Bill Clinton's post-presidency in a very specific way.
All right.
So, I find that's interesting that, okay, New York Times, they're like, no. This looks bad. We're going to get to Charles Krauthammer, but I want to play what MSNBC, Mika Brzezinski.
From Morning Joe.
Yeah, with Morning Joe, said about Clinton.
But I have no reason to believe that anyone in the Clinton Foundation or State Department did anything improper. And if something comes out to the contrary of that, then we'll have to deal with it.
The problem is we have no reason not to believe it. Not that she has, I mean, she hasn't. On this issue, I think it's, I mean, I'm going to say it from my perspective, it just doesn't feel like she's been completely honest. Her answers don't feel comfortable at all. They seem very hedgy and read from some sort of legal assistance and prodding and coaching to try and get around something. My gut is it's probably just to sort of widen the footprint of the foundation, widen their reach for whatever, you know, needs they have to either help people or boost their own personal fortune.
I want to pick up the word.
So,
boost their personal fortune.
I thought they were poor.
Yeah.
Anyway, Charles Krauthammer
they
thinks.
They were once upon a time.
Right. Back when we were in Little Rock. Charles Krauthammer thinks this is going to be, could be the spell the end of her campaign.
Charles, I never thought I would ask you this question, but blah, blah, blah.
Look, I think this guy's whistling in the dark. This is, I think, can be quite ominous. There are two questions that have been outstanding forever. The first is, what exactly does the foundation do? I know what Habitat for Humanity does. I know what the Gates Foundation does. It is obvious that it was a huge networking operation, funding, supporting, and giving jobs to the entire Clinton retinue, waiting for her accession for the Clintons to return to the White House. And the second question is, why did she have a private server? I have always speculated here, and I said it was pure speculation, that the real stuff, the reason she had to hide all this, obviously she meant to hide things, was because there is something having to do with the foundation. And that's where you would put all the so-called private stuff. It wasn't yoga lessons or wedding invitations. If there was anything about improper connections, and we see them here, this is just a hint of it. This is just a few emails. What was in the 30,000? If anybody gets their hands on them, Russian or not, they could come spilling out stuff that could destroy her candidacy. She knows what's in there. But if anything, it's the connection between the foundation and what she did as Secretary of State. Right, whether there was a direct quid pro quo, I think.
So, by the way, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're talking about Hillary Clinton's scandals and emails. And now it looks like the FBI wanted to investigate the Clinton Foundation, but the Department of Justice shot them down. CNN.
Imagine that.
Yes. Shocker. Go ahead and play clip six. I think we got
enough. Breaking news. We're following a U.S. official telling CNN today that several months ago, the FBI and top Justice Department officials met to discuss opening a public corruption case into the Clinton Foundation. Our justice correspondent, Pamela Brown, has been getting new information. What are you learning, Pamela?
Well, we've learned that what initially grabbed the FBI's attention into this, Wolf, was the fact that a bank notified the FBI saying that there was suspicious activity surrounding a foreign donor to the Clinton Foundation. And so what the FBI wanted to do earlier this year is open up a case and investigate whether there was a conflict of interest at the time that that donor was making contributions to the Clinton Foundation during Clinton's tenure at the State Department. There were three DOJ field offices in agreement that an investigation, public corruption investigation, should be launched. And so top DOJ officials, we've learned, met with FBI officials earlier this year to discuss whether a case should be brought. And we're told that there was some disagreement during that meeting, that it was split, that some top DOJ officials felt like a case should not be brought. In fact, the DOJ Department of Justice looked into allegations against the Clinton Foundation a year prior after that controversial book Clinton Cash was released, found that those actions were unsubstantiated and felt like there wasn't sufficient evidence to open up a case this year. And so ultimately, a case was never opened on the Clinton Foundation. But again, there was this disagreement. Some top DOJ officials felt like there wasn't sufficient evidence. Others felt like there was, and that a case should be opened.
Bottom line is, they're covering for her. I think when you had that many FBI agents and DOJ officials want to investigate, they should have proceeded.
Well, and remember, we had Matt Whitaker on the show here about a month ago, if I remember. I don't know if that was a time frame or not. It seems like it was about a month ago. Anyway, Matt was saying that the real problem for the Clintons right now was the foundation. It was not concerns over her committing perjury to the United States Congress. Right. But the foundation was a lot more volatile.
Yeah, definitely. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment to talk about Donald Trump.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So,
hey, you know, we talked real briefly at the beginning of first segment about the Donald sending out tweets about Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me,
by the way, that was a meme generator. I just have to be clear about that.
What? You mean it wasn't real?
It wasn't real? It wasn't real.
No,
he retweeted me back before I was unfriendly to him.
I think he said something about you being a total loser. I think I remember that one being generated.
It's like Trump generated. I can't remember exactly where I found it, but it was, yeah, it was funny.
Loser. You're a loser.
It basically, yeah, it collects all of his insults on Twitter, and you can sub out your name for whoever his name was originally in there. So
Ron Carlson, our producer, is sitting over here with he's got the loser sign on his forehead.
Yeah, definitely. Well, hey, one thing I wanted to mention about Clinton before we move on to Trump. This has, not only we talked about how Matt Whitaker said that this has potential sinker, but this story could be a, a change maker in the polls. Could. We'll see. It's fairly new yet, so we'll see if what comes out of it. But if she sees a dip in her polling numbers, I would say it's probably a direct relationship with the story because it's nothing Donald Trump is doing.
You think?
Right. Right. As we get into that, his campaign is a disaster. Over 70 Republicans have asked in a letter, asked the Republican National Committee to cut off funds from Trump. They're urging Reince Priebus to urge him to stop spending any money to help Donald Trump win in November and shift those contributions to the Senate and House races. Part of the letter says, we believe that Donald Trump's divisiveness, recklessness, incompetence, and record-breaking unpopularity risk turning this election into a Democratic landslide, and only the immediate shift of all available RNC resources to vulnerable Senate and House races will prevent the GOP from drowning with a Trump emblazoned anchor on its neck. This should not be a difficult decision, as Donald Trump's chances of being elected president are evaporating by the day.
They're evaporating.
And you had some heavy, our listeners may not be familiar with some of these names. Some of them I am. Former Senator Gordon Humphrey of New Hampshire, former Representatives Chris Shays of Connecticut, Tom Coleman of Missouri, and Vin Weber of Minnesota, among
Vin Weber's been around forever.
Right. Or some of the Republicans lending their name to the letter. Close to 20 of the co-signers are former RNC staffers, including Mindy Finn, who was a former RNC chief digital strategist, Christine Irison Gunderson, former RNC press secretary, and a name, a guy I know, Patrick Graffini, former RNC e-campaign director. So as a result of this, Trump was asked on Fox News by Eric Bolling about the letter. He says, one of the big things about the RNC is that they have this whole infrastructure of data and information and context and email lists and mailing lists and phone numbers. That is something that is important to your campaign, Bolling said. That's not at risk. That's not at risk. Is that in jeopardy at all? Trump replied, I don't know. I'll let you know on the 9th, on November 9th. We're going to have a tremendous turnout. Tremendous. It's going to be huge.
It's going to be huge.
Huge, huge. From the evangelicals, from the miners, from the people that make our steel, from people who are getting killed by trade deals, from people who have been just decimated, from the military who are with Trump 100%, he went on, from our vets, because I'm going to take care of vets. I don't know that we need to get out the vote, he concluded. I think people that really want to vote, they're going to just get up and vote for Trump, and we're going to make America great again. I'm almost speechless. So apparently Donald Trump does not think his campaign needs a get out the vote strategy, because obviously every other presidential campaign ever run in the history of mankind never needed a get out the vote. That was just ridiculous. They're wasting their time getting out the vote. Trump will just, by nature of his Trumpiness, will just draw.
It's Trumpiness.
Will just draw voters. They'll be compelled to come out and vote for Trump. He doesn't need to identify who they are. He doesn't need to remind them to get out the vote. He doesn't need to register people. He doesn't need to do any of that. They're just going to come out naturally and vote for him.
Well, you have just laid your finger on the uniqueness, that's one way to put it, of Donald Trump. He has been successful over this past year of breaking every political rule,
right,
known in modern times. Everybody, there's no disputing that.
Right.
And so for him, everything with each passing day over the last year, he's been self-validating. He'll say something outrageous and everybody will say, you can't do that. And he goes up 5 points in the polls.
Right.
So he just keeps doing what he's doing and he keeps doing all these unorthodox things and assumes that he will take that same strategy of just Donald being Donald,
right,
all the way to the end, and he'll win. That's the assumption.
Yep. The media allowed him to get away with that in the primary, and primary voters, they're different than general election voters. That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And he says these things, and it's actually he says crazy, and he gets dinged for it now with general election polling. Mm-hmm. Of course, I know the polls are skewed. except for ones that he likes, then those are fine.
Yeah, those are spot on.
Those are spot on.
Look, I don't dispute some of what he says here. I think he probably is going to get a heavy turnout from some of the groups that he mentions.
Possibly.
You put your finger on it earlier. He's moving this in this unorthodox way.
Right.
Assuming he's going to be just fine. And the reality is there are certain things that you just have to do in a general
especially
election.
Especially when you're running up against, you got the Clinton machine. And if Barack Obama is any indication, what he did in 2008 and 2012, they were masters at getting out the vote. Democrats are good at that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't not. I mean, Republicans already had to play catch up, and to have the Republican nominee. I don't even want to say our nominee anymore. The Republican nominee thinks he doesn't have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just mind boggling. Whatever. We'll see.
And of course, lost in all this, he doesn't seem to understand how many of us are not going to vote for him.
Right.
Who, under normal circumstances, would vote for whoever was at the top of the Republican ticket.
Right.
Many of us are not going to do it.
I mean, there's a reason we're seeing third party candidates actually get a little traction in the polls. It's to see Gary Johnson, some polls break double digits.
Incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then even Jill Stein, the Green Party, she's getting, she's gotten 5%, 7%. So, he can't take anything for granted here. Speaking of the campaign trail, he said some shocking, outrageous things on the campaign trail. For instance, who do you think the founder of ISIS was? Donald Trump knows. Go ahead and play clip 7.
ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS. Okay? He's the founder. He founded ISIS. And I would say the co-founder would be crooked Hillary Clinton.
Well, by the way, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're listening to Trump saying that, in fact, President Obama is the founder of ISIS.
I think today, didn't he say something like, didn't anybody catch that I was just being sarcastic?
Well, that's the problem. When you make these outrageous statements, you might have to qualify them when you say them so that everybody understands the point you're trying to make.
Yeah. Right.
He doesn't do that. No, yeah. He just doubles down on them and makes him look more offensive and more stupid than he already
right.
did.
Absolutely. Now, did their policies help contribute to the creation of ISIS? At least allow the atmosphere?
I would argue yes.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable to say. But to call him the founder, come on.
Yeah.
And then the biggest thing in the news was what he had to say about the Second Amendment and Second Amendment people.
Oh, Hillary wants to essentially abolish the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But she said the other day she short-circuited. Hey, could you imagine if I said that I short-circuited? They would be calling for my execution, electric chair. They'd bring back the electric chair. It would be a whole different ball game if I said it. Believe me.
Okay.
You won't vote 15th.
They're going to put the Donald in the chair.
Yeah, I didn't mean to play that whole clip, but it was kind of funny. First, I don't know if they've totally gotten rid of the electric chair, but anyway, just focus on the Second Amendment. Okay, liberal minds exploded about this comments regarding the Second Amendment. You're inciting violence! That's an overreaction. Trump, however, released a statement. I was talking about Second Amendment people unifying to stop Hillary Clinton. No, because, okay, let's go back to what he said. He said, if she wins and appoints Supreme Court justices, there's nothing you're going to do except Second Amendment people. Maybe there's something you could do. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He was making a joke. I'm going to submit that it was a joke. It was a joke in poor taste. Based on, once again, that's another day
with Donald Trump.
Right. Based on the context of what he said, he was talking about them doing something after she's elected, not before she's elected. So come on with the cockamamie. I can't say what I want to say on the radio. That this was talking about unifying the vote. No, you were kidding around that basically inferring that Second Amendment people could assassinate Clinton or assassinate the justices or assassinate judges. And while, no, were you intentionally trying to incite violence? No. But was it a very irresponsible thing for a presidential candidate to say? Absolutely, yes. And most reasonable people understand that, except the diehard Trump fans who think it was just perfectly okay for him to say this. Now, they've pointed out instances when Barack Obama and some other people have talked about, you know, violence, kidding around. And I agree. I think the media needs to be consistent in there. But I would like to remind those people that those comments I've seen floating around the internet were made in 2008. This is 2016. They're not going to be writing about comments made in 2008. And just because they did it in 2008 and made comments like that doesn't make it okay for Donald Trump to do it in 2016.
Well, look, as we consider all of the verbal foibles of Donald Trump, let's just reflect for a moment on something. First segment, we were talking about Hillary Clinton, okay? CNN, MSNBC, and the New York Times were all highly critical of her.
Right.
She is a scandal waiting to happen. I think it's at least possible she still will get indicted for something. It's at least possible.
It's possible.
So, Donald, if you really were interested in winning this thing, do yourself a favor and just shut up.
Maybe go play some golf and just stay there until November. That actually might help.
The guy's digging a hole. There's no reason for it.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now it's time for our news rundown, which we normally refer to as news you can use. First up, from our own Caffeinated Thoughts, A bill in California, SB 1145, proposed to close a loophole in California law, which allowed private religious schools to make admission, housing, and faculty decisions based on gender identity, gender expression, and sexual orientation. So in other words, the schools had discretion in this regard. But the language in this bill has now been changed. Under the bill's original language, seminaries would have been allowed to continue the practice, but the bill impacted any religious institution in the state, most of which are Christian, that wanted to exercise their conscience as well as protect the religious identity of the school. Now, this is a temporary victory, and the fact that the bill still requires private colleges to report such information is unacceptable, albeit better than the alternative. And the bill needs to be scrapped for good.
Right. And the state senator who authored this, has said that, you know, he plans on bringing it up again.
Oh, no doubt.
So this isn't going to go away. And Christians in California need to be vigilant, as do we, because this could happen in Iowa.
This could just happen
very
anywhere.
Easily, or, yeah, anywhere, really, because this is the direction our culture is going.
Yep. Okay, and next up, another one from our own Caffeinated Thoughts. Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys representing an Iowa church filed a brief Monday in federal court that exposes deficiencies in the Iowa Civil Rights Commission's arguments against suspending a law that censors and attempts to control churches. The commission's application of the law censors the church's teaching on biblical sexuality and forces the church to open its restrooms and showers to members of the opposite sex under certain conditions that the government dictates. Why don't you love it?
Mm-hmm.
Last month, ADF attorneys filed a motion to temporarily suspend application of the law while the case moves forward in court, and explained that recent changes to a public accommodations brochure the commission produced are insufficient to alleviate the concerns raised in the church's lawsuit. The commission responded by doubling down on its extra constitutional claim that it has the power to apply the law to churches and determine whether their activities are religious or not. It specifically analogized churches to for-profit businesses, seeming to miss the obvious constitutional differences between the two. Are these people morons?
Yes. Yes. This, frankly, talking with a couple people that I would say are not nearly as conservative as I am, talking to one person who actually writes for the New York Times, she said she was shocked by this story. She's like, this is an obvious overstep by the commission.
Well, one would think that would be obvious.
Right.
One would hope that would be obvious.
I will be, even in this realm, even in our current circumstances with our culture, I would be surprised to see ADF not win this lawsuit, because I think it's the Iowa Civil Rights Commission is clearly wrong. I think the law is flawed. It needs to be fixed.
Yep.
And hopefully the Iowa legislature will get to that and not depend upon a judicial remedy.
Next up from the Wall Street Journal, Washington. The Obama administration secretly organized an airlift of $400 million worth of cash to Iran that coincided with the January release of four Americans detained in Tehran, according to U.S. and European officials and congressional staff briefed on the operation afterward. This is a story that was actually from the week before, but we didn't get to it. But we needed to get it out there and talk about it. This is just outrageous. There's no way they talked about how this is in reality just a payment for something that was already agreed to many years before. But the fact remains that there was an exchange that took place.
Right.
And so all this discussion about this just being something to deal with an obligation that had been arrived at a long time prior, that's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. There was an exchange t- took place. This was a ransom.
Oh, but yeah, no, they said it wasn't a quid pro quo. It was the first installment of the $1.7 billion mm-hmm. settlement that
right.
they reached with Iran. Why cash?
Yes, and, yep. and it was done in euros and Swiss francs, and I believe because it would have been a violation of U.S. law if they'd have done it in U.S. currency.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that? I mean, okay. Like it must be okay. The Obama administration did it. Don't worry about this stuff. It's another witch hunt, right?
Is this the change they were talking about?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Open change.
Yeah. Next up.
Lots of change for Iran.
Yeah.
Pocket change, I guess. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next up from the New York Times, Evan McMullen, a former CIA official and a Republican who passionately opposes the Donald.
Mm-hmm.
Announced Monday that he would run for president as an independent candidate. Mr. McMullen, who until recently worked on policy development with the House Republican Conference, has missed the ballot access deadlines in more than two dozen states. You think he got started a little late?
Yes, he did.
Mr. McMullen, a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, that would be Mormons, folks, studied in Utah and could take notes from Mr. Trump in the heavily Mormon state.
Votes, not notes.
I knew that.
Don't take notes from Mr. Trump.
In an interview, Mr. McMullen said he was strongly opposed to both Mr. Trump and Hillary Clinton, the Democratic nominee. But his harshest words and his clearest motivation appeared to come from Mr. Trump's candidacy. This is wild. I mean, who else could come out of the woodwork now and run third party or what have you because of the Donald? We haven't seen the end of this, I'm
right.
afraid.
This guy's interesting because he's definitely got a fascinating background. Jim Hoft, who's the gateway pundit, though. Who's
down in St. Louis, yeah.
Who's a trumpet.
He's a trumpy.
He tried to pick apart his resume, saying, "Oh, there's inconsistencies." And I had this lady shared this on my Facebook page, and it's like any critical thought at all could just totally debunk what Jim Hoft wrote. It's like he must feel threatened by this guy because first of all, Trump is polling under 40%. He's leading by 9 points in the latest Utah poll I've seen. But it's under 40%. Gary mm-hmm. Johnson has got like 16%. Hillary Clinton is somewhere in the 20s. This guy who's from Utah, a Mormon, and could possibly take votes. I mean, he could disrupt Trump in Utah.
He could.
I don't think he's going to disrupt anywhere else. But Utah, he could be a problem.
Well, and this ought to be sending these guys a signal. Hello?
Yeah.
You got a problem here. We're watching everybody on our side of the aisle just the unity completely disintegrate.
There is no unity. That was
precisely.
Forced unity is not unity.
Okay, last but not least, this is from the Daily Mail. This is pretty ugly. A mother and son whose forbidden love
oh, gosh.
Could land them each a lengthy jail sentence have declared that they are madly in love and nothing will tear
hey,
them apart.
Brian, love is love.
Yeah. Love wins, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's... And with that...
You know what they're calling this? Genetic sexual attraction relationships.
They have a name for that?
GSA.
Wow. This is Captain Anthony's Radio. We'll be back in a moment. Baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Uptown, down home, American kids. His easygoing demeanor was so relaxing, refreshing, and romantic as a marriage partner. But as a parenting partner, not so much. Raising kids has been such a hassle with your contrasting styles. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Very few couples enter marriage thinking about their spouse as a mom or dad. Yet, that parenting stage can last 2 or 3 decades. And if there's anything you want to tackle as a team, it's parenting. However, the differences of your personalities, maybe your experiences, and even preferences can make it a battle for some sense of consistency. The Bible warns us not to provoke our children to wrath. To avoid this, it tells us to provide instruction and correction based upon biblical truths designed to draw them to Christ. To get help with your parenting plan, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Do you want to take advantage of the marketing potential within social media for your company or organization, but you're not so sure how? Let me help. My company, 415 Communications, is a social media consulting firm that works with groups like yours. Go to 415communications.com. That's 415communications.com. Or give me a call at 515-321-5077.
And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up!
Okay, today we have a story that's not really funny. It's kind of dark. Maybe the best way to say this is it's just plain weird.
Okay.
I like that.
This is from Perth, Australia. And we got this from Perth Now, which is the name of the publication. Police are trying to determine how a man's body could have gone unnoticed for nearly 3 days in the toilet of a Hungry Jack's restaurant.
Okay.
I bet their restrooms are very clean.
I would imagine so.
Officers were called after the body was discovered in a locked cubicle at the Hungry Jack's on Wanneroo Road. That sounds like something that you'd have in Perth, doesn't it? Wanneroo
yes.
Road in Westminster, in Perth's north, on Monday morning. Police believe the man might have entered the toilet on Friday night, and his body remained in the toilet all day Saturday, when the store was open for 24 hours, and then also on Sunday. The restaurant was closed by workers at 10 p.m. on Sunday before the body was discovered by employees at about 9 a.m. Monday morning.
Wow.
Firefighters were called at about 10 a.m. to force open the cubicle, which had been locked. If the man's body had been there since Friday, that would indicate the cubicle wasn't checked or cleaned on Friday evening, all of Saturday, and also on Sunday. A police spokeswoman said the man's death was not being treated as suspicious. It believed the man may have died of a heroin overdose.
Wow.
However, police will investigate why it took so long. Yeah, you think? Why it took so long for the man's body to be found. And they will prepare a report for the coroner. Hungry Jack's, what a name for this too, huh? Hungry Jack's refused to answer questions about cleaning arrangements at the restaurant and released a statement through a PR agency saying it was cooperating with all relevant authorities regarding the matter. Council health compliance officers from the city of Stirling were also investigating the death to make sure there was no public risk. With respect to what? The toilet not being cleaned for who knows how long?
Maybe the toilet killed him.
That included looking at whether health or sanitary issues needed to be addressed. I would think so. Oh, boy.
I would think, in 3 days, probably the smell wasn't that bad yet, but still.
We don't know what Hungry Jack serves, actually.
Maybe the bathroom just stinks naturally.
Gosh, if this is any indication, they obviously weren't cleaning it on a regular basis.
No.
So I guess
you'd have to define regular.
Yeah.
Gosh.
3 days.
My goodness.
Maybe he just didn't clean it because it was locked.
Well, none of this, when I first read this, it didn't make any sense either, because you'd think in 3 days somebody else would have wanted to use the stall.
You'd think so, yeah. Maybe it was more than one stall.
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
That's weird.
Shane. It is just weird.
I mean, maybe the door came, because you think you would see, well, of course, if you see
We should just stop there.
Right. Weird.
It was weird.
Anyway, on that note, this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
See you, everybody.
See you next week. Thanks for listening. And hopefully you listen again.